All right, everybody. Welcome back to Joel Radio. It's Joel with you. Got a great show for you today, I think. I think it's a great show. It's a great bunch of guys to hang out with, I will tell you that. From personal experience. So, we hope you enjoy it. Get those coughs out, Jeff. We don't need those. We don't need those on the air. No, it's professional radio here.
There should be a cough button
now. Cough button? Nah, I'm not that professional yet. Welcome into Joel Radio, everybody. Now, today's a special show, and I want to just set that up because we are promoting a special event that one of these gentlemen has put together. But let's just go around the room here. How many years of comedy do you estimate? Anyone want to take a guess in this room alone?
I'm going to guess at about 85 to 90 years. Just between the three of us, we add you in there.
I'm 15, so I'll come out. Yeah, when this show's over, believe me, I'm gonna lose seniority. All right, let's go around the room and tell everybody who's here. We're gonna start on my left, a very funny man who is you are the most requested act on gigs that I book. Do you know that? You are the guy people ask for.
Both
we want him back. Yeah, exactly. It's Billy Ray Bauer, everybody. Billy Ray Bauer. I'm gonna applaud for Billy Ray.
And let's put this in proper perspective here. The reason I'm most requested is because I usually borrow money from the people, meaning they need me to come back and repay what I took from them the first time. So.
Well, Bill always does a great job. And speaking of the guy on the left, to his left here, is a legend on the comedy scene. I mean, the stories of you offstage, certainly some of the greatest ever. In fact, I'm going to tell one today, but I'll get to that later. It's Jeff Brannon, everybody.
Woo! Hello.
How are you?
How's it going, Jeff?
The myth, the man.
Yeah. Here he is. We're seeing Jeff Brannon in the daylight sober. This is a rare sighting.
This is a rare spotting. He may not be a myth, but he's a near myth.
Yeah, we're exposing that today. And then finally on the right, this guy is a comedian and a juggler. And
which is going to play real well in the radio.
Yeah, great for the podcast.
Look at him go.
Up the drop one.
I could break into Balloon Animals if you need me.
Balloon Animals, he does it all. It's Tim Rollins.
Dirty ones, actually.
Okay. Tim Rollins.
No, please.
No, it's fine.
Don't start now.
Yeah. And Tim has a big event coming up at the Comedy Castle this week. And you want to plug that right at the top here?
Sure.
Or do you want to make sure people think that we're funny and then they'll come out?
Okay. Yeah. it's I've gathered up some of the best comics in Detroit, all guys who've been in the business at least 25 to 30 years, to help my son fund his Eagle Scout project.
Right.
It's an irrigation thing out at the Tollgate Center. Out in Novi. It's like Novi Road and 12 Mile right there.
That's this project, the Eagle Scout project.
Irrigation.
Yeah.
Let's get some specifics here because that's pretty
vague. Oh, yeah, we're standing around peeing.
I was going to say it's a bunch of guys pissing in a ditch. That's because I'll tell you.
No, we're trying to beautify sustain this one area around a few ponds right up front of the place.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
So we're buying the materials and the scouts are providing the labor and everything, but we're buying the materials and renting the machine, the trencher, to really do it professionally. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
But,
all right.
That's what we're doing.
And that's what the Eagle Scouts are up to nowadays.
Well,
I always thought they just built campfires.
This particular place.
Comics and Boy Scouts. Now, that's an oxymoron there. And it's just
I wasn't allowed to put the 50-50 on the raffle.
The Army Corps of Engineers.
Send that to Uncle Jeff when it's time to get that badge. Or snatch patch, whichever they call it in the Scouts. I'm not sure.
So this is Sunday night at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak.
Yeah, 7
this
o'clock.
This coming up Sunday, May. 7 what is that, May 4?
It's only $10.
Yeah.
And there's 10 headliners on the show.
Exactly.
And me.
And I'll be working the door, so that's where you'll see me.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I won't be on stage, but I'll be working the door.
I'll be selling raffle tickets and the snacks there. It ought to be a blast.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, the lineup you've got,
But it's like an old style open mic night, only everybody's been in the business that long. So what did you say? How many years in the business on this thing?
Oh, geez, you got to be well over a century.
A couple hundred. Probably. 250. I'd go 253.
No, I'm thinking.
On the whole show?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah. Probably 300, somewhere around there.
Why not?
Yeah.
Who's counting?
More than the oldest clam, I'm guessing.
because yeah, this is a rare. But this is a,
I'm setting you up, Tim.
Somebody's been watching too much Food Network, and I know he doesn't because I know what he watches.
Yeah, we know what he watches.
Yeah, this is a chance to see. I mean, Norm Stoltz is on this show. In addition, to everybody in here:
Mark Knopf, Mark Sweetman, Tim Lilly.
Yeah.
Bill Hildebrandt.
Mike Green.
Yeah. Sal D'Amelio, who's been on this show many times. Sal. No, Sal's out? Okay, I thought Sal was on the fly. No, Sal.
And
not going to see Sal.
Oh, I thought Sal was on there, too.
No.
Sal can't make it?
What
I'm not coming if Sal's not there.
Okay, all right, no Sal,
so
but
my other guys get to do a little bit more time.
All right, so we'll be at the Comedy Castle Sunday night, and it'll be a fun time. So.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it should be good. We just had an event last night. They drew like 140 last night. So that's what you're
Really?
That's the bar.
I've
that's
given
the
out
bar.
That many tickets.
Good.
Every comedian's gotten 10 tickets.
And, oh, okay, so there you go
so
right
far.
There.
So, yeah, we got that, and guys are still working. And, you know, I mean, my son's even promoted it through his scout troop.
Geez, the one who it's for? Imagine the
he's
sheer tenacity of that kid.
He's going to probably be there that night.
Yeah, no, yeah, but I mean, isn't that weird?
Not
that
for very long.
I mean, Eagle Scouts are in their teens, right? They can't really come to a comedy show.
No, he's just going to be there for a couple seconds let him know who this thing is.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. No, it's not nice.
How old is
it's because my damn wife wants him to be there.
How old is your son now?
He's 16.
16, man. He got his driver's license?
Not yet.
All right.
No.
All right. So you're going to have to drive him over there. Somebody's going to have to drive him.
Yeah, I know. And hopefully it's my wife and then, you know.
And they'll both take off.
Yeah, something like that.
That's like sad. Adam really should be driving you home.
Yeah, 16. Isn't there a badge for that, driving your drunk dad
your
home
dad
from a gig?
Yeah,
yeah, you think that would be something?
Okay, which leads into somebody else's bit, I believe.
I think that's the enabler badge.
Yeah.
I believe that's what that one is.
No, it isn't this kind of event, you know, and none of these guys have to work clean on it. That's
no,
the
yeah, that's the, okay.
I'm going to break the seal on that right off the bat.
Are you gonna host the show, or are you more?
No, I'm just
only if you're making the announcements.
You get me like Hildebrandt did that? That was so funny. Okay, no, I'm just going to, you know, go up there out front for a few minutes and then do one or two bits and dirty it up a little bit and then bring Kramus up. And Kramus is going to MC the
whole Kramus thing. Is going to MC. I was going to say, because you always get egos when you get 10 guys together. And sometimes nobody wants to MC. And so they just hand it off from one guy to the next guy. And you know,
believe me,
always
after last night's show, Kramus has no ego.
Kevin, I got to get Kevin on the show sometimes. He's a real funny.
Oh
guy.
Yeah, he is.
But he's
man.
A great MC. Of all those guys, you would probably pick Kevin. Well, you obviously picked Kevin.
He's a wingman. He's a born wingman. I got him. He's coming with me up to do a casino in Wisconsin at the end of the month. So he's your wingman.
Yeah, I open for the guy all the time, man. So,
there you go.
Yeah, we have fun.
Because he can't reach the handle.
Oh, man, we're doing short jokes already. Okay.
Oh, I wasn't even going to go there, man. I
had to take him off my dash because it lost the hula skirt.
So, since you guys are
you
all.
No, he's going to hear these. You know that, don't you?
Of course.
Well, he'll listen. Right. He's,
I love that guy.
We tell him we're talking about him. He's going to have to listen. Now, you guys are all 20 years. Everyone's over 20 years in, right?
Yeah,
you guys
I got about 27.
Okay.
27.
Now, where are the gigs nowadays? How has that changed in comedy? Because we sit here, you know, Corey Hall's my normal co host. We sit here, and we're 15, 16, you know, less than 20 years in. And we talk about where the business has gone and how it's kind of gone to shit in the last.
Well, you know what?
It's changed.
The first thing you got to look at is we all came in when the comedy club circuit was in its heyday, when you could get work.
Late
in,
80s.
Yeah.
Those were magical times.
Yeah. You could work Tuesday or Wednesday through Saturday every week, no problem. And most of the time, right in town because it was that many different venues. But of course, that's all changed. So, you know, we were talking about Chaplins at one time. They had how many? Five or six locations?
Oh, like seven or eight.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. And then, of course, there's been this.
It was ridiculous for them to have one.
And just like a white guy going into the water, there was shrinkage.
Yeah.
You know, you got this whole problem where here in Detroit's a good example. We have, three full-time clubs now, whereas we used to have seven, eight, nine.
Yeah, when I got started, I think it would be five because we've lost Chaplins and Joey's Dearborn. in my era. You know what I mean? Just alone.
Right.
So I never saw.
There's been others. Yeah. You know. Gadzooks out in Waterford there for a while. There was Chaplains had locations in Plymouth and Canton and even in Windsor for a quick minute. And
Belleville.
And Belleville. Yeah. Was that the one, or was it Canton, where you actually worked to two audiences because the room was shaped like a V? Some of the audience couldn't see some other parts of the audience.
A lot of the patrons were too.
But so you were basically, they would just put these clubs in any room,
any place,
regardless of size or their, you know.
Can you say whore?
Yeah, well, no, I think that was good. But now, people that would come to these, were they all sold out, these shows, back in the day when you were doing nine shows a week?
Yeah. The only.
Where did these people come from? Was it just like.
Because
people didn't have cable and they were just leaving the house.
Then there wasn't a comedy show on every freaking cable channel there is. It's the cheapest thing to produce. And once the clubs were taken off, you know, all the TV people said, hey, it's cheap. All we need is a mic stand and a backdrop and we've got a comedy show.
And it's just like music and most other parts of entertainment. We've all had a big change come because of what's happened with the explosion of exposure through television and other media.
Yeah.
Shit, now it's not even just television. Now you can sit there on your smartphone and watch stuff. So it's really, you know, it's really. So the question you're saying is, where's the work? Where's the work coming from now?
Yeah.
Well, it's coming from, for me anyway, it's I do a lot of casinos. I do a lot of private shows.
Uh-huh.
I do a lot of stuff that is, I think, a little trickier because, you know, like I was just at a high school. I did a thing for band boosters, and it was a mixture. There were actually some kids in the crowd, and there was...
I was just at a high school, but that was just for myself.
They keep chasing me out of the parking lot.
Yeah, you cross that 1,000-foot line, technically.
No, really, I'm just here to sell proactive.
Because I think that's what a lot of it that has happened, you're right, is private shows, people booking their own stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we had a guy, like I said, the Comedy Cast last night, we had a guy, and he booked his own, the Baby Boomers comedy show.
Oh, okay.
And he booked himself and another act, and they came out and did 45 minutes each, and a Q&A, and that was the show, and they travel that way and do 2 weeks a month doing that, and then 2 weeks a month doing other shows.
Yeah, well, I think
that's why we're calling this the old talent show.
This is the old?
Of the baby boomer
thing. Oh, the old?
This is the old.
That's
talent.
The name of the show, the yeah, old talent?
Old talent.
Okay.
Eagle Scout Project. I didn't say old jokes, because that's not true. Both of you guys are right.
But hasn't the business largely turned into one, unfortunately, swirling vortex of fundraisers? It's, you know, there's always some, and of course here we are promoting
a fundraiser. Yeah.
Okay. But I didn't take that personally.
Okay. Well, room for another foot.
Okay.
You said your son was digging an irrigation.
We got fewer guys on the show right now.
But are we? Is there any way for it to go back? I mean, what brings the people out? Is it? I mean, you know, no one's putting really money into a new venue, it doesn't seem like, because that seems like a bad investment. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, there, you know what it really comes down to? I think because the boom is over, the only comedy clubs that are going to survive are the ones that are managed properly and happen to be in a very good location.
Yeah, location is key.
Yeah. Now the Comedy Castle here in Royal Oak is probably an exception because it isn't really a great location. It's a great location because it is the Comedy Castle.
Well,
it's a destination.
Well, it's where people go to eat dinner, and then it's kind of, you know, you've got 30 restaurants within two blocks of the place, it's a pretty good location.
But it's not the kind of place. It's not out on Woodward where you got 1,200 cars driving by every day. You got, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
It succeeds despite itself. But I mean, you know, if you go, like I was just down in Columbus. There's really only one viable comedy club in Columbus. That's the Funny Bone.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's a great room.
And it's a great room in a beautiful area. Been fortunate enough to work there. It's really a great place. But you know, if you try to put something together nowadays, if all the elements aren't there, you're not going to make
it. Yeah, no, I agree.
And most of these places are underfunded. I mean, how many people go into business and actually have enough operating capital?
That's true.
To do marketing, advertising, and actually pay the people that are going to come in and work. So
One, maybe
one. Yeah, that's about it.
That would be.
So, I think it was the open bar tabs.
Under
and,
over.
I pretty much take all the responsibility for putting these clubs out of business.
Were you the last guy? In...
You're responsible for us not getting an open tab anymore, where you go in and they go, well, if you'd like something to drink here, we'll give you a 10% discount.
I was just ahead of my time because I saw it coming. Someday they're going to say, this is bullshit, we're putting an end to it. And I'm going, well.
Shoot scores.
Might as well get it while you can.
Well, this is a legendary story that I always tell on the show because people, you know, ask us what happens at gigs. And I've always told this story anonymously because, you know, I didn't know if the guy would want me to tell it. But now that he's in the room, I think I can tell it. I'm playing a casino one
Tim.
Night. I'm playing a casino, which was a shitty casino gig. This was the Odawa.
Oh, yeah.
Petoskey. We've
all been
there.
Still is a shitty gig. The room itself
I'm there
amazing.
With the guy and the headliner. They give us our checks, and they say, if you want, you can go over to the cage. We'll cash your paychecks for you. So this guy goes over, gets his check and chips, immediately goes over to the blackjack table. 30 minutes after showtime, he had lost his entire paycheck at the blackjack table. That was Jeff Brannon, everybody. There he is. I've always told that story.
Finish that story.
Oh, is there more to it?
That's your best story about Brannon?
Well, I mean, it's one that's not a Brannon story.
You do not know this guy, man.
After I lost my whole paycheck, I went to the ATM, took out $600, and won $3,500.
Oh, well, there it is.
There
you
go. There was a happy ending. And I mean that in every way.
And Petoskey, really?
Is that really what happened that night? I don't think you ever told me that because we rode together. We drove up there and back together.
Is it the one that I'm thinking about? Well, it happened to one of them up there.
Yeah, okay.
Was it a big circle room that you walked in?
Yeah.
Those were the wagons.
Right, that's the place.
The Odawa room looks like it should be a part of the movie Scarface. It looks like a Miami nightclub.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, well, listen, I stand by my story.
Well, your story is true, but I went back later on and got retribution.
Okay, that's fine.
Now, here's the question now, because we've all worked that room now.
Yes.
Did you do it when they had the stage directly behind the bar where you
were above? I've done it twice, and I think both times it was like that.
Okay.
And it was probably, I think when I was with Jeff, I think it was worse as far as, like, less crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back again, and it was like, you know, it was still completely awful, but a hair better as far as, you know, people. Like, I think the second time people actually sat at that bar.
Yeah,
and that made it better.
You're not allowed to do Native American jokes at those.
Oh, I know.
Is that what they tell you?
Well, we always did them anyway.
Well, if we want to do the stories,
hey, stick around. We're going to be singing karaoke.
All right, so I got a story.
I got in my room. I said, "There's no TP." They brought up three poles and some fabric.
Oh, I like that.
It took me forever to get checked.
Is that really on the list?
Guess I shouldn't have been wearing my Cowboys jersey.
They tell you not to do Native American jokes.
Actually, yeah, I did
really?
This little.
They definitely do.
I did a little casino in the western end of the UP. I was not the Chippins one. No, this one was in Water Violet. This was in
Water Violet.
Water Violet, whatever you call it. Anyway, so I go to do this, and the woman who meets me when I come in is this young girl, probably in her early 20s. She's Native American, right?
Yeah.
She gives me the spiel. Okay, listen, before we go any further, I got to let you know what you can and can't do. You can't talk about inbreeding because apparently that's a big problem in the Native American community because they're trying to maintain the gene pool. So there's a lot of
how many guys show up with inbreeding jokes?
I know, but I had to toss to them.
Yeah. All of us. Yeah.
Talk about what you know.
In fact, we got a funny story.
So, all right, so she says no inbreeding jokes.
No inbreeding jokes.
I am American Indian.
Well, I think they have that rule.
They
have that rule because somebody must have shown up with inbreeding jokes at one point, right? Is that why?
So then the other thing they said, you can't talk about alcoholism amongst Native Americans either. So these are the two areas you can't talk about, right? All right, so I go up to my room, I get checked in, and I come down later for the show. Now, in the interim time, the girl that had greeted me and given me the warnings had gone off duty. She's no longer working, but she's there.
Okay.
But she's
off duty.
She's at the bar where the comedy thing is at.
Yeah.
And by the time I got down there, now we're talking an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
By the time I got down there, this girl was drunk on her ass with all her friends. right before the show. So it's like, well,
yeah,
okay. So we don't want to talk about how hammered you're going to get tonight, but you are going to get hammered
tonight.
Well,
they warn you about what you're going to see. You're going to see inbreeding and drunken Indians. Don't mention those things.
Don't mention
and
it.
And have a good time.
And you know, that doesn't always go in that order.
Yeah, not always. Yeah.
One leads to the other.
I think so. Yeah.
And they're not exclusive to those people, frankly. Yeah. Yeah.
Which then leads you to these concerns they have now. What is it? What's the deal now? Which team is it that's being excoriated?
Oh, the Redskins.
Redskins.
You can't say Redskins.
Yeah, because I said I have a simple solution to that.
Not even about the potatoes?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, there's the solution. I said, take the Indian off the jersey and put a big potato on the jersey. Solves the whole problem.
Or we rename the potato, the native potato. We could do that, too.
Well, I said, you know what you do is if they're concerned about the perpetuation of the Native American myth of being the savage warrior
with huge penises,
let's update and reflect reality, and let's have a team call them the Native American blackjack dealers.
Okay, there you go.
The logo,
oh, man.
the little logo on the jerseys. You know, a guy in
a tuxedo vest
with a cummerbund. He's dealing blackjack. Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's what it's come to. So now we're looking at comedy. Rather, comedy clubs being probably the rarest gig you get now.
Yeah,
really, you would have to say, and casinos probably coming before that. Fundraisers, Eagles. I mean, I booked you at an Eagles. I've booked that one Eagles for a while.
Yeah, all those wildlife.
I did that.
Eagles? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, me and Timmy did that.
Thanks for remembering
the last one. Yeah,
the one in Rochester.
The Rochester Eagles.
Yeah, we did that one.
Yeah, those guys are all right.
Oh, they were fun.
I live in Rochester, and you've never asked me to play the Rochester Eagles.
The next I think I did, and you were booked. I believe that's how it happened. But there is
that's a story. And he's sticking to it.
But yeah, the Eagles, you do those. You do the Moose. You do the Eagles. Like you said, all of the animals.
Oh, yes. The Elks.
Occasional
elk.
Uh-huh. Like, and
all sorts of wildlife.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you do all those things. And like you say, I do a lot of the private things that come out. Right. Of the three of us, I don't know. I think Timmy can work
necessary. Thanks for being on this thing. And both of you guys, thanks for being on this thing.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah. I mean, it's a business that does change. I still try to do some comedy clubs.
Yeah.
I try to get one a month. If I can do one a month.
Yeah.
I like to do the baby seal clubs.
I like to club baby seals. Yeah.
But I think one of the reasons is that the clubs have, there's so much politics around comedy clubs, and we all know that. We've all been around where, you know, this club I'm in with this club, I'm not in with that club. This guy won't book me. He thinks I'm too... Like, there's a club, a club that probably most of you guys play that says, I'm too dirty to play their club. It's the only club that says I'm too dirty to play their club.
I've never had that happen.
But I've been told... But I've been told I'm too dirty to...
Eagles Club in Rochester,
like,
but other than that...
I'll go and do PG-13. You know, they'll bill me as PG-13 at other clubs. And then I go to this one club, and the guy goes, you're too dirty to work the club. And it's like, what the fuck, you know? Like, the rules just seem to, you know, they vary
you
from place to place.
You got to change your name. PG-13 doesn't work for you.
You know, but it's like, do they just make up these rules to just exclude, you know?
Exactly.
If they don't want to work you, they just tell you you're too dirty. Yeah.
They don't
or
have
you're
the balls
just
to
this.
Do that.
It's the continuing subterfuge exercise by booking people
right.
in order to keep you off guard and unable to really discern why it is you didn't get work.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep getting bitter about agents and club owners.
Well, let me just
I don't care about them anymore.
Well,
that's
but my point
part.
Is that
me either.
My
I
point
do.
Is
I love each and every one of them.
Yeah.
But you know my point is that you know
I lose allegiance.
But I, you know I don't give a shit. I'll name these guys. I could give a fuck. I'm not doing these anyway. But you know like there's another one where the guy said this is the A room and you can't play the A room. I was told that too. Now the A room when I would MC the A room, I was in there
A-holes
every
in there.
I was there every 6 weeks. But then when I asked to even move up to feature, then you're like no, you can't do the A room anymore. What the fuck is that?
Yeah,
you can do. You know,
you
I mean,
should be able to do it, just not as often.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, you're already in the room. I'm going to tell those same jokes 15 minutes later than I told them the last time,
well, see,
and it's not allowed.
Proves in comedy, timing is everything.
So. There you go.
No, the point is really in all of these.
I usually don't see a lot of guys repeat jokes.
Oh
Well, yeah. Come to one of my second shows.
I was going to say.
Did you? Really?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I worked with Leo once at Joey's in Dearborn.
Hey, no, we got another story happening here.
Yeah. No, go for it, yeah.
I was working with Leo in Joey's in Dearborn, and it was the second show Saturday night. Leo had a couple. And he did a joke that he does in his show, and he did about 10 minutes into his show. And then at about the 50-minute mark, right as he was getting ready to wrap up, he decides to do the joke again. And, of course, it just lays there. He comes off stage. He goes, man, he goes, that joke usually kills. I go, they loved it the first time he told it. And he just went, what? I go, yeah, you already did it. You did it real early.
See, that's
in the show.
What's funny about him, though. You can tell him a joke the second before he goes on stage, and he'll use it. I love that guy for that, man.
We're talking about Leo DeFore from Windsor. Is for the listeners at home that don't know. A legend in Windsor, club owner, great comedian. But all over, yeah. But I mean, he's from Windsor, Tecumseh, Ontario.
The term beloved fits
from
him.
Yeah,
very beloved. He's Leo's one of the
good guys. Yeah.
The patriarchs of comedy.
You know, I stay at his house when I go over there.
Oh, I've seen that, the garage.
Yeah. I've stayed in the garage. I've stayed in the tent. I've stayed in virtually every room in the house except his master bedroom.
Okay.
And it's not like she hasn't asked me.
Let me describe Leo's garage for you. So Leo has this club in Windsor, and I guess if you're visiting, now you stay just
Amherstburg.
Okay, not Tecumseh, Amherstburg.
Amherstburg.
His house is in Amherstburg.
Yes.
Okay, the club's in Windsor.
Yeah.
The house is in Amherstburg, and you go, and I guess this is where you've stayed there. You ever stayed there, Jeff? You probably
no,
no.
I haven't.
Because local guys maybe don't, because we'll just go through the tunnel, go home. And he took me there once, because I don't know what we were doing. We had time to kill.
The
so I go over
cave.
To his house. Yeah. And you go to his, and he's turned his garage into a hotel room for comics. But it's also like it doesn't have headshots on the wall and autographs
posters
and all this shit.
I'm sure it's got some kind of shots on it.
It's got to – oh, because I stayed there. Don't go there with me, man.
They show up under an ultraviolet
light. The black light down.
You guys suck. You know that.
Hey, look at it.
Suddenly I'm Tyson right now.
Somebody,
fuck you guys.
Somebody get that splatter pattern exit.
This is going to change, I'm telling you.
So I just remember getting there, and I remember, I don't know how long I had been doing comedy when I was over there. Probably not that long, maybe 5 years or something. And I just go, and I'm with Leo, and we're hanging out. I think we're doing a private show. His kid was open, and we're all in there. And just looking at this, and I'm thinking, I got into this fucking business, and if I make it, I'm not even big enough to stay in the garage at this point. Like, I'm only 5 years in.
Well, that's the
if
A
I,
garage.
Yeah, and if I just work harder. Yeah, it's the A garage. I'm not allowed. But I was just like, man, what a business I chose. If I finally make it to headliner status touring nationally, there's a garage waiting for me.
No, I told Diane, you know, when she was trying to book me, or she wanted to book me, I said, I'm going to have to look at a farmer's almanac for sure. First,
to see
because,
if it's warm enough to stay in a garage.
I stayed in a tent out there once. I stayed in his garage. Seriously, I've stayed in virtually
so
every
you were
room
the middle
of the house.
And you got the tent? Is that what happened? And
what's that?
You were the middle. You got the tent. The headliner got the garage.
A lot of times now, Leo is opening and closing the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you get to see Leo for that much. So that's a bonus. Yeah. And he's got a good stable of guys over there.
No,
so
he does.
He brings in about three guys or new talents from the States.
Yeah, yeah.
And books one other guy.
Oh, okay, and then it's the Leo show.
And then for me, he doesn't have to pay a hotel because
I understand.
You're willing to sleep in the
You're willing to sleep in the tent.
I'm willing to sleep under a tent.
it's just one of those things that happens on the road. And Leo certainly is a better, because there's been things where you go on the road and you're staying at a waitress's house or something on a couch.
Those are the good days.
Yeah. Those.
And we've all stayed at the crack house in Painesville, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Right. With the tub in the middle of the
Didn't
bathroom.
Did you ever do that one?
No.
The tub in the middle of the bathroom?
Right, right.
I mean, there's 10 feet on either side of you, and the bathtub is right in the middle of the room.
Yep, yeah. In the bathroom downstairs, all the tile had come, the grout had gone, and so the tile was all gone. So basically, it was just like cement, like what you would put the tile on was left. And then there was all these kids living on the lower level, and the guy told me later on they were all homeless. They were all like runaways. So you're upstairs while all these runaways.
Well, plenty of people on the show.
Plenty of people on the show is right. I was just I was wondering who was rummaging through my shit when I was doing the show. Yeah.
And then even when you get a room, here's one that this you guys have probably, maybe you got, again, maybe not getting a treatment. Caseville, I go to this guy's. Oh, no. Herschel in Caseville, who we all, Billy's laughing because you guys all know Herschel.
He's actually from Jeff's hometown, isn't he?
Yeah,
he lives
in Rochester.
Okay. Yeah. This guy has a hotel that's one of these like old kind of resort town hotels.
The Bella Vista.
Yeah, and it's got to be built in the 60s, right? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, probably 50s.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very old hotel.
I got relatives there,
and
so
he's got 30.
Or by people who were in their 60s.
He's got what, 30 rooms minimum, 50, let's say? Take a guess.
Like that.
Something like that. And he puts me up in this room, and he goes to me. He says, look, I got one room. You young guy, you can stay at room by dance floor. And I go, what does that mean? I don't fucking know what that means.
Did you stay in there?
So I check
either
in.
You guys ever stay in
I
that
check
one?
Into the room. No. And, you know, I do the show because the show, you know, we do the comedy show, and the comedy show's fine. And I said, I'm staying in Caseville because it's 2.5 hours back to Detroit, probably, right down to Tulane Road. And I get to the room, and it turns out that this room has a door that leads to the DJ booth, for one. And then as soon as the DJ starts spinning, you're sound literally next to the DJ booth and the PA system for the nice. Club. Now, he's put up two, he's given away two rooms of his 50 or 40 that night for the comics. And he decides, I'm going to put the fucking comic next to the DJ booth. And you know there's no one else staying in this fucking hotel.
It's not insulated on the other
right,
side.
Right, and it's not, you stayed there once.
I've stayed there.
And you're like, who the fuck can stay in this room?
Yeah, it's
nuts. I mean, what a piece of shit that guy is. I mean, why do you do that?
Yeah, I know. He's a notoriously cheap.
You know, I mean, I believe he's Israeli, so
he is.
You can connect the dots on that joke if you want, but, you know.
On a related note, I have relatives in Caseville, and one of them's name is Dick Pedler.
How's she doing?
What's so funny?
He works at an adult superstore. So.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. Well, there you go.
But, you know,
he's
a
natural.
You get that shit when you go to these clubs and these you know, hotels.
I had a deer headbutt my car after leaving that gig one night.
That was that one, yeah?
Yeah, I was coming back. I did the gig. It was in November one year, and I remember it was near Thanksgiving, and it was raining. It was kind of cold, and I never forget because I was talking to the waitress before I left. I was drinking a beer, and I said, man, I really hate leaving about now. I said, man, I'm so worried I'm going to hit a deer.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, don't worry. You won't hit any deer. It's raining out. They're all back in the woods. They won't be out on the road because they'll be trying to stay out of the rain. I couldn't have been more than 5 miles out of Caseville. And this deer ran in front of my car.
Right.
Unfortunately, he was accompanied by his slower, dumber pal
who
headbutted the side. I was driving a Honda Civic at the time. He left a dent a good 6 inches deep in my rear quarter panel. Just bam! And then he knocked himself silly, right? So I slam on the brakes. I get out, and he's laying on the side of the road, shaking like this, you know? And I'm thinking, what the hell should I do? You know, I'm trying to think, what's the right thing to do?
Get him a beer.
Get him a beer. Right. So I'm thinking, what should I do with him? So then I finally realized, I rationalized it out. I said, look, if he dies, it's cold enough that he won't spoil. So there's a farmer. This is all farm country. Some farmer, some redneck's going to cruise up in his pickup and throw it in the back. We're good to go.
Yeah.
I had the same thing happen with the neighbor's kid.
And you're talking about a goat, right?
No, he was twitching. But it was cold enough. I figured, he won't spoil.
He won't.
Oh, yeah.
Some pedophile will come driving along.
Because that's another thing you got to deal with on the road is driving, snowstorms, animals, that shit.
Yeah. Now, I was worried he was going to wake up. That's when I went, got near enough to him, I thought, well, if he wakes up, he's going to be really pissed, you know. So I got in the car and took off.
Yeah, you got to at that point.
No,
you
know. And I must say, in addition, as an addendum to that story, in subsequent years, I have totaled two cars by hitting a deer.
Oh, jeez.
We worked Caseville that one night.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Now, was that the week when Herschel came up to us and said, you know, last week we had small crowds, so the guys took less money?
Yes.
And what did I say to him? What did I say to him?
Fuck you.
That's not fucking happening this week.
That ain't happening this week.
God, I had small crowds. You got to take less money.
And, I mean, he was,
and that's when I got the room next to the disco.
He was paying shit money anyway.
Right.
I mean, he made the Holly Hotel look like a good gig. I mean, it was like, oh, my.
That's another one. I'm banned from the Holly Hotel for
apparently
making.
So am I.
You know what I'm banned for? Listen, I'm banned for making fun of the room, I was told.
Really?
Man, I do that every time I'm there, right, and I get
away
with it.
Some people's whole act when they play the Holly Hotel.
I mean, that's a built-in. Come on.
That's what I was told, and we know who I was told by, so we don't need to name names on that one.
Wow.
But I was told I made fun of the room, which is. Let me just describe the room for people at home. It's the basement of an old hotel, which is now a very nice 4 or 5 star restaurant on the first floor. And the basement is sort of this old room that they just throw a comedy show up in. I mean, right. a $2 PA, your name's on a chalkboard, and a train goes by about every 20 minutes.
That's pianos on stage.
Yeah, two pianos. Okay.
The lowest ceiling
So it's
ever.
not an A comedy club. So I go in there, and I'm making fun of the fact that my name's on a chalkboard and that, you know, the PA's right. from Radio Shack.
Yeah.
And I can't play there anymore. So there you go.
Well, there you go. I did hear
yeah.
from the person who books it
yeah.
That they just bought a new sound system.
Oh, my goodness.
So well, I think something's happened to George. Something's happened to George.
Still
George
at Radio Shack.
George hit his head.
Somebody got a nice tax return back this year or something? Or somebody got a refund?
Probably, yeah.
George found somebody that bought it for him. Some group wanted to come in and do some kind of an event. He said, well, we don't have a sound system. Well, we'll buy one. Okay, that's fine. Then you can come in.
It's probably one of those pawn shop deals.
Now, guys, you guys all remember working at Holly Hotel years ago before they remodeled the room. Now, you have to remember back in the day, it had these silk drapes so that it looked, the stage especially, looked like where you'd display a corpse, like at a funeral home.
Yeah.
It looked like a funeral home. It really had a funeral home feel to it down there at that one
I've
point.
Had shows like that.
when you were on stage, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh,
don't
yes.
blow that but balloon up in here, mister.
You know the funniest thing that happened to me there, though? They were looking all over town for this guy who owned this Blazer, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they were looking everywhere, and they couldn't find him in any of the bars or restaurants. And finally, they asked me to go up on stage and ask if this guy was actually in the crowd. Okay, does anybody own a Blazer? And I rattled off the license plate number. Yeah, it's my vehicle. Something wrong with it? Something happened to it? I said, just meet me in the back of the room, okay? And he goes, no, something happened to my vehicle. I said, no, please, let's just meet in the back of the room, okay? And he goes, no, tell me what happened to my truck. I said, okay. Well, you dumbass, you parked too close to the fucking railroad tracks. And the steps from the caboose got under your wheel well, and it's undrivable. It's about a half mile from here. He could have been nice to me.
Yeah.
I gave him every option. I gave him three.
You tried to bring him down easy, but man.
It doesn't work.
No. There's a lot of stories in that place. There's no question.
Oh,
about
yeah.
it. I had one night, they had no heat.
The Shining, right?
They had that no, place oh, is, yeah, very much. Yeah. It's got that feel.
It's the Overlook.
Yeah, so the people that are listening to this know this place was built in the 1800s. It's reputedly haunted.
Yeah.
And one night, I had to do a show there when the heat had gone out, so they couldn't do it downstairs. We did it in the bar upstairs.
Okay.
The bar upstairs looks like it's out of a Dickens novel.
Sure,
you
yeah.
know, red velvet chairs, looks like a Victorian
yeah,
kind
absolutely,
of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Smells of cloves.
Oh, yeah. Mothballs.
No, cloves, mostly. It's a food place, man.
Yeah, you know. I
or did you just want to say mothballs?
I wanted to say mothballs.
They are cute, aren't they?
They are cute, but they're not always easy to see. You got to spread their little wings, their little feet.
Okay, getting creepy on me. Oh, man.
So you played the bar and it was fine, or it was
It was just weird because there was no sound
yeah.
system.
Yeah, I was going to say,
no
what was the PA in the room without the PA?
It was an interesting...
It was nothing.
There's not often you're telling jokes and you can see your breath.
Yeah,
but you could. Ugh. You could actually see your breath in the room. That's
oh, you hate
there? Come on, man. You guys have done some crazy-ass gigs. Anybody do that stupid ferry that was parked off of Elginac?
Hey, cut it out, man.
what was this gig? I don't even know about
no,
this.
No,
it was a
I don't
boat.
Think he's talking about gigs anymore.
No, has a boat,
a ferry boat.
Okay,
a ferry boat.
Did it have a big dinghy?
It had a huge dinghy.
I bet you there's a lot of Richard Peddlers there.
Where did this ferry go? What was the destination?
It was right
up the creek.
It was.
We'll get it out of you, Billy. It's all right.
The Guadalajara now.
And the irony of this whole thing is since the start of this, I've been the straight man.
Yeah,
have
exactly.
You notice that?
Right,
yeah. Yeah, how's that working for you?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
We've all found our roles on this show. We're half hour in and we're figuring it out.
But you know, we have to have a thread of some story.
Exactly.
Line
you and I will
around.
Do that, and yeah. These guys will chime in.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
We'll.
Sure. So
we'll show you the exits.
So this,
right. This
not the back door.
No, not the back door. Not the back door. You don't want to go to the back door. We don't use the back door.
Yeah.
It was a boat. It was parked right off of where the Harson's Island Ferry.
Okay, I know where that is. It's Lake St. Clair.
Or the St. Clair River. They were doing comedy on this boat, right? And I had to do it one night. And the manager comes up to me just before we're going to start the show, and he says, "Look, it's the owner's birthday, and I'm surprising him by bringing a couple of strippers. So in between you and the opening act, I'm going to come out, and then we're going to." I go, "What? Yeah, just it'll be cool. You'll see." So, of course, opening act finishes his set. They bring out a chair. They set the owner down in the chair, and then these two girls come out, get naked. They got cans of whipped cream. They rip his shirt off. Here's a rule in comedy. Never follow tits.
Yeah, exactly.
Never, ever follow tits. It was just, you know, what can you say that's going to compare to jiggling tits?
Right. Why are you in this business?
Really?
And they probably made you work clean because it's a boat, too, right?
No,
they probably said,
Actually, I did probably the dirtiest show I could do. And you know what it really boiled down to is I did Jeff Brannan's act.
Okay,
and it went over really well.
I followed tits before. So they called it stalking. But
oh, champ,
right,
you're the best.
I worked at Cheetah's once.
Okay. Oh yeah, when it was next to Leo's or
under
above?
Leo's,
under Leo's,
and a cop bar in between.
Well, how did he end up? Because he was what, above the strip club or under it, or they shared a
Leo's,
building?
Or, no, strip club downstairs,
okay. Leo's upstairs,
cop bar in the middle, and
that
Leo's upstairs.
Oh, okay, so now how do you end up working the strip club then?
They just wanted to goof around one night,
okay.
So I got up there on stage and just juggled. They like me. You know.
What'd you juggle?
Okay.
None of those girls like to follow dick either.
That's my newest joke that's working well, man. That blonde joke. You know what I mean?
You want to do it?
I met a beautiful woman the other night. Okay. Yeah. I think she was blonde, but I didn't have enough time to find out for sure.
Okay, that's good.
It's not like I was going to wait down there till they grew back in.
Somebody, I just heard this.
I would have.
Tone.
I heard this recently. I don't know who said this, but I heard somebody.
You would have. I know you would.
Somebody described the woman as an airplane blonde. Do you know what an airplane blonde is?
No.
She's a blonde on top, but there's a black box below.
That's not bad.
I don't know who to credit that to, but I'm not, you know.
I don't get it.
I've been doing
black box.
I do.
I mean,
black
I just
box
don't
down
get
below.
It. No. Okay.
Well, let's see. I got the bit of. I had a girl actually expose herself during one of my shows.
Really? What'd she expose?
She's wearing like a sundress.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm doing the show about 10 minutes in, and she has this goofy smile on her face, and I look, and she had hiked her sundress up. Yeah, she wasn't wearing panties or anything. Yeah,
but like deliberately, knowingly that you're knowing.
As I said to her, I says, I don't care if the carpeting matches the drapes. I just wasn't expecting a bare floor.
Right. So, yeah, because if you had that where guys, like I went to Florida, and of course this is only happens in Florida, at least to me it did anyway, where a guy said I could bang his wife after the show. You ever had that happen?
He didn't say I could. I
just assumed. Well, no, I was.
He was sleeping.
There was no permission slip.
I put up a sign saying don't.
I was given permission and decline. Let's just
do I still get paid?
It was a guy in the audience. I go, Right, I should have said, so you guys said you want to bang my wife, and I was saying, I guess you didn't enjoy the comedy show, right? Is
that oh, man, but, he hated you that
yeah,
much?
Yeah, he hated really? Me now. Okay. You have to fuck her now, I'll fuck.
I get it, man.
Well, you know, there's certain things that every one of us, as comedians, we're going to deal with. The hecklers and heckler kill lines. I know Tim's great with heckler kill lines. My best ever came probably 20 years ago at the old Mr. G's in Flint.
The G-Spot.
The G-Spot, which was a Sunday night attached to the Holly Hotel. You do the Holly Hotel Thursday, right. Friday, Saturday. Then you do Mr. G's on Sunday. So they had a pretty big crowd.
And then it changed to Maxie's for a while, right?
Well, no, Maxie's was in a different location. Mr. But G's was...
Maxie's became the add-on gig, though.
Yeah, exactly. Maxie's became the add-on. So I'm doing the show. They had a couple hundred people there. And I'm probably 10 minutes into my show, and... there's this table of guys, foreign guys, Arabic guys, sitting at the first table in front, dead center, like eight guys at this table. And they're all talking in Arabic. And finally, I just couldn't talk over them any longer, so I shut up, and they kept on talking. And finally, the rest of the crowd got quiet, and all you could hear was these guys talking. And I don't know where it came from, but I looked at them, and I go, you know what the trouble with you guys are? Nobody can understand a fucking word you say unless you got 2 inches of plexiglass in front of you.
Ow.
Yeah. How'd they take to that?
Not good.
Yeah, not good, yeah.
Not very well.
Yeah, that's you know, you do these gigs, and I think the ones, especially, like, the problems when you get out of a – for people listening at home who aren't comics, when you get out of the comedy club, you realize that people have no ability to follow a comedy show. It seems like that's the case. Like, if you're in a comedy venue, the audiences will understand what's happening. They understand the flow from the opener to the middle to the headliner. They understand they need to shut the fuck up and pay attention. And then you go to a restaurant or a bar, and for some reason, people can't fucking understand what's happening.
No, the etiquette is so different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Jeff's had one of the funniest heckler lines I ever heard in my life.
You'll have to refresh my memory.
Okay. You were in Ann Arbor, okay, and this guy kept on talking to you. Obviously, blatantly gay guy.
Oh, yes.
No. Okay. Jeff knew it. The audience knew it. The guy certainly knew it. Yeah. Okay. So the guy keeps heckling Brannon, and he, you know, hits him a couple times. And then finally, Jeff looks at the guy, and he goes, all right, well, you see what I do for a living. He goes, where do you work? And the guy goes, Siemens. So the audience laughs, okay, and as soon as they just stop getting done with their laughing, Brandon goes, well, at least you don't have to pack a lunch.
Thank you, I was there for that.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is good, man. Because, you know, these places, just you go in there and they just, you know, they'll have the television on and, you'll be on against a game or something.
Oh,
and they just
God, yeah.
Give a shit.
I remember one with...
The dartboard was louder than me. Seriously, I'm telling you the truth on this. There was nobody there.
You were saying you were playing like the nine people or something last night.
Yeah. Oregon.
Oregon, Ohio.
At Icons.
That's right. The gateway to that's where you take Highway 2. Right there in Oregon. If you want to go to Cedar Point, you can get off at Highway 2.
The biggest monster of a guy, I mean, I've ever seen. You know what I mean? Yeah, the, you know, UFC kind of stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was what, the owner? Or he was
That's what I call my ex-wife.
No, I had
UFC.
I said UFC. Okay, I got it. I totally get it now. That's funny.
UFC, that's good. Never, oh man, because
actually starts with a Y.
See, you go to some of these places and you're just like, who? I mean, you understand that people are comedy fans, and that's a lot of what keeps the business going, is that some owner is a mark for comics. They love comedy,
you get that
or they want to
yeah.
hang out with comics. They like to shoot the shit with you. Yeah. They like to hang out with you. And so they'll give you money.
At first.
Yeah, okay.
It's like exercise equipment.
Right.
A new bicycle.
Let me play with the comic. Yeah.
Some club owners really are comedy guys. They really love comedy, and it shows. A good example is Billy Hargis.
Oh, God. That's way inside, but that guy's a fun. This is, okay,
hey,
let me.
Okay. What? All right. No, I'm just going to finish your sentence.
Nah, yeah. Let me explain Chaplin's, and then I'll get. So Chaplin's Comedy Club was a place, and it was one of the original comedy clubs, and I say this in the sense that, you know, the legend of how comedy blew up was that they closed the discotheques and they became comedy clubs.
Right.
And Chaplin's was La Notte's, which was a big disco. And they never remodeled the place to really make it a comedy club. It
still
had all the disco lights,
the walls.
And reflective foil on the walls and mirrors and all kinds of shit.
The waitresses didn't even change their uniforms. They were the same outfit.
So it was one of these legendary places, and it's in a bowling alley.
Right. Well, it's made famous by Jeff
that's what
Foxworthy.
I was getting to. And Jeff Foxworthy wrote the original "You Might Be a Redneck" joke, because he said if you're getting your people were getting their pickup trucks valet parked at the bowling alley to go to the comedy show, and he said, you know, everyone's calling me a redneck for being from the South, but if you're up north in Detroit and you're getting your pickup truck valet parked at the bowling alley, you might be a redneck.
That was said,
the original "You Might Be a Redneck" joke.
Yeah, and he told that story on Jay Leno.
Oh,
I happened to be watching it the night.
Yeah.
And when he told the story, and as soon as
I read it in a book,
he goes, it's a comedy club in the Midwest. I'm not going to give you the name or anything. He goes, it was attached to a bowling alley. As soon as he said it, of course, everybody in Detroit's going, "It's Chaplin's."
Yeah,
and apparently back in that at that time, Buzz was still involved. The Hargis boys, Billy and Bobby, and their dad Buzz owned these comedy clubs. And the irony is that they really didn't have a sense of humor.
They were more concerned
about what you were wearing when you walked into the building, and they gave Jeff Foxworthy a hard time because he was wearing jeans that had a rip in them. They looked kind of ratty. And Buzz said, "You can't come into my fucking comedy club dressed like that." And he's, "Wait a minute. This is attached to a bowling alley. I don't get the whole vibe here, you know, where you're trying."
Right.
So that was where the genesis of that.
I'll rent some shoes.
Yeah, and that was, that's just like an example of a delusional owner who thought their place was something it wasn't, and you know the comics would go in there, and we knew what it was.
Well,
and
Billy would swear at you for 10 minutes for swearing once on
stage. Yeah, that was another one. They told you had to work clean.
Yeah, you're not going to talk like that in my fucking comedy club, you fuck. This is a fucking clash joint, all
right? Yeah, and that's the thing is the place was in I guess it's technically Clinton Township, Michigan, which is actually the town I grew up in.
No, I thought,
but
it's
really Roseville. It's really the ass end
Roseville.
Of Clinton Township into Roseville.
It's kind
of. It might add a Clinton Township mailing address, but it was we all considered it Roseville, which is
Roseville decided to add some low rent housing broke off on their own and became Clinton
Township.
That's a tricky
So that was a club that was sort of this place.
Where I started,
and you could hear the pins be
east side local knowledge.
If there wasn't
if there wasn't
enough people laughing, you could hear the pins being knocked down. Between jokes, you'd hear, and then clink, and then you hear the things being reset, and it was just and they had big names in there. I mean,
even until
probably a couple of years towards their demise when they started, just using local guys. But they had everybody in there. I mean, I remember seeing the first time I ever saw Robert Schimmel live was at that club, and lots of big names.
Oh, yeah. They used to bring Judy Tenuta back all the time. Okay. Pauly Shore.
I loved her, man. Yeah. She was funny.
Oh. I smoked a bowl with Jim Wiggins in the comedy club in the seats, not like in some little back corner. I mean,
me too.
Wiggins is like, "Here, dude, hit this." It was like, "Man, Billy's going to get pissed." "Oh, fuck him, man. Come on, man.
I got to go up. Here you go. I got work to do."
Jim Wiggins, haven't heard much about him.
Yeah, what happened
to Jim? Doing.
Jim
he was having health problems a few years ago.
Because people might know at home, Jim Wiggins was the guy, and I don't know if it was the first or second season of Last Comic Standing, where he actually, I don't think he made it into the house, but he went very far.
Right.
He was sort of this old guy.
America's oldest hippie.
Yeah, the oldest hippie and like this old road dog who was really funny. And it was all these hipsters.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it is.
Did you ever stay at his house?
No, but
you know what's weird about it? Every room was just one solid color, and everything in that room was that color. He had a freaking green room. He had a red room. He had an orange room. And, I mean, every one of these rooms had probably 200 to, 500 things in it that were only
that
color.
Wow.
Yeah. It was wild, man.
He was monochromatic.
Yeah, and he lived right next to a...
I love it. This is my favorite line of his. He goes, women tell us our brains are on our dicks. Well, you know what I say to that? Blow my mind.
He's a funny guy. I don't know if I have a favorite line from that guy.
Yeah, but he had a lot of them, didn't he? Yeah. He was great. There were certain guys that were legendary.
Yeah.
And you guys have worked with D.C. Malone, haven't
yeah,
you?
I've worked with D.C.
You know, when they were Malone and Nucci's, and then Dennis would go out on his own. And, man, talk about a guy whose drinking habits were legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I got... The worst I ever got hammered.
Careful.
Careful. We're stepping on toes here. Yeah. Jeff Brandon's like, I got something to say about that.
Jeff's got good stories about getting drunk if you could just remember them. Yeah. That would be, he'd be full of them.
I should have written it down.
Do your license joke.
Which license joke is that?
The back of your license.
Oh, no, that's a stage joke. We're just fucking around here.
Well, you can. It's all right.
I don't want that.
All right.
Yeah, I'm being off the cuff today.
Save it for Sunday.
Take the cuffs off.
That's right.
Like it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because I think new comics, though, I really feel like new comics don't, and even me, you know, starting however many years later after you guys, don't drink the same way. You know what I mean? It's not the same.
It ain't even
thing.
Just the drinking either, too. Because when
Speaking
I first,
of that.
When I first came in, it wasn't just the alcohol. It was,
Coke.
Coke. I work with a couple of guys that were. Oh man, I don't know what they were spending on Coke, but it's more than what they were making.
We used to work for Coke.
Exactly.
Look, it's come full circle.
They're drinking Coke. Me and Tim are drinking beers, and Billy and Jeff are drinking Coke. But yeah, I mean, there seems like to be like that element is sort of gone from comedy. I think in a lot of ways, because I've worked with a couple
of these.
Because
we need the money.
Well, but I've worked with a couple of these legendary old time Coke guys, and they're still coked up and stuff. But you know, it's really out of place now. Yeah,
it's
really
not
is
fashionable anymore,
right? Because you know, the comics might be on Coke, but so was half the audience and most of the waitstaff.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And now it just seems like that's not the case anymore.
What
you know?
Did John Fox call it? Girl food? I think he called it girl food.
Legendary John Fox.
And I don't know if you've noticed this about comedy clubs. And listen, I don't want to single anyone out in particular, obviously, any particular club. But
I'm sitting right
no,
here.
No, no, no. I'm talking about clubs in particular. But it seems like the waitresses have... What's happened to that? It seemed like the waitresses comedy clubs were there almost exclusively to just blow the comics and get you fucked up after the show.
It's the same. You know what it is? Airline deregulation.
Is it really?
Same thing happened to stewardesses. Okay. They're now flight attendants, and you wouldn't fuck any of them. The same thing happened to the damn waitresses in
the comedy
club.
Well, we got old, fuckers.
What difference to make?
They're still there for that. It's just for the new guys.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's like, you know.
I like your perspective on that. I think you were totally correct on that.
That's right.
Well... Anyway, I see like this things that, you know, sort of you always heard about comedy, and, you know, I sort of missed those days by some amount, you know, and then even the stuff that I saw, you just don't see that much anymore. And
I remember some crazy time. I remember at Joey's one night, some drunken broad, there was a couch. Yeah, this is the old Joey's room back before the fire. Where you had the comedy room, and then you had like a foyer area, and then there was the stairs, and then on the other side of the stairwell was the bathrooms, and there was a couch there, and if you weren't doing your set, you could sit out on the couch. And me and the feature act one night, I was back when I was an opening act, we're sitting there, and this drunken broad comes walking past, and all of a sudden she recognized the feature act. Oh, you are hilarious. And she jumps on him, and I'm sitting there next to this guy. This girl is laying across us. She's wearing a dress, and she's trying to make out with this guy. In the meantime, her dress had pulled up. Her ass is right there in front of me, like inches from me. And of course, I'm like, you know, should I be a wingman here? What should I do? And then, of course, as this is going on, this was back when Kevin Needy was running the room. Remember Kevin?
Yeah,
he was about 5 foot.
Was that White Lake?
No, this is Joey's in Livonia.
Yeah, he eventually went out to White Lake.
Yeah, he did. He went out to Gadsden.
Right, okay.
But he come out, and, you know, he's a little control freak, little Napoleon. You know, he comes out, and he's like bitching, get the hell out, what the hell do you think you're doing? And it turns out this girl's boyfriend was literally 20 feet away, just inside the comedy room, waiting for her to come back from the bathroom, and he's drunk too. And while he's bitching, this dude come walking in, man, and it got tense for about 2-3 seconds there, I thought this guy and me were going to get our ass kicked by this guy, man, because his girlfriend was way out of line.
Yeah, I just feel like comedy's just kind of lost its...
The craziness.
Yeah, it sort of lost that sort of rebellious edge.
It got pussified.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like you know, it's like rock and roll kind of
became business.
It's not show business anymore. It's more like
It is show business, man.
Yeah, but it
definitely is.
But there's more business than show at this point.
Yeah, the perks are gone.
Yeah, okay. That's one way to look at it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It made it all fun to do.
Yeah. So now, if you know, you just get that paycheck,
the
which
perks
isn't what he
and the perps are gone.
Juggling for nothing.
Still got to pay for my chicks.
And then the new comics, I've known this. Now, I don't know who's been to like an open mic recently, or if any of you guys.
I did one.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I do them.
But it feels like some of these guys, and I know you do the Comedy Castle open mics. I see you out there a lot. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But a lot of these, you know, especially like the bar open mics and stuff, guys will go, and the show will be like 10 guys, okay? And this, now I run one of these, and I think mine is better than this, but you'll see 10 guys, and every guy eats shit, like gets no laughs. And no one gets pissed
off
about
it. That's not going to happen this Sunday.
Nobody seems to care that they're bombing. The audience doesn't seem to care that the comic's no good. The comics don't seem to care that the audience isn't laughing. And it feels like that sort of seems to me that the instinct of a comedian is, if they're not laughing, it hurts, and so you do something to get them to laugh.
Yeah,
sort of
there's no
live
difference.
On that energy of right. if they're quiet. We have to do something to get them involved, right. And it feels like that's just gone. Like it feels like people just do it now to like do it. Like it's
I
like
think these guys. Become, a lot of these young guys.
It's become like the internet. It's like blogging or something. Like, we just go out and just talk about our
it's
lives.
A monologue. It's
and
a
we
monologue.
Don't really care if they're really Joe. We don't care if there's punchlines.
Punchlines.
Yeah, it's Come all on. Just it's all just a, it's all just stream of consciousness.
Punchlines are
shit.
Contrived.
But you know what I mean? Like and then like if you would do shows, if you would do shows where people. Are killing and guys are doing well and then like the one guy bombs like the guy would come off stage and he'd be pissed and the other comics would kind of like not want to talk to that guy because they'd have to tell him how bad it was and nowadays guys come off and you know they're bumping fists and the guy got no laughs for 7 minutes or whatever and nobody cares anymore. It's like what happened to that? How does that work?
You know, they don't respect each other.
I guess.
I think so.
Or they all just afraid to like. No one wants to hurt each other's feel. No one wants to.
They're not.
No one wants to make it count. No one wants to keep score. Is that what it is?
You know why? Because they got bitter long before we did. They're already bitter.
I don't know if it's bitterness. I described it once. I was talking to Bill Bouchard about open mic, and I said it's like a kid's soccer game now where no one keeps score. They just play until they blow the whistle and everybody wins.
Yeah, it's a lot
That's
like
That's what it feels like.
Just walking when you go,
Everyone's a winner, Jimmy.
Everyone's a winner. No, there's no stakes.
So, yeah,
you know, you
maybe
go
that's...
out and do it, but there should be, shouldn't there?
There should be.
Yeah.
There should be. Well, but then you get the hyper side of it when you have all these damn contests. You see this?
That is.
This is another emerging area of exploitation for comedians. It seems like virtually every city in the United States has a comedy festival. And, of course, you have to pay to enter and for the privilege to perform and then also put yourself up at your own expense if you're going to travel there.
Yeah.
And you might win something in the very end, but the vast majority of people are going to come away having spent a ton of dough.
Well, why don't I do those?
Don't we do those?
Or the prize is like a week
you
of...
drive a truck that
Yeah.
Well, eats the guy,
the prize
like...
is a week of work, which is what you were looking for anyway when you sent the tape.
Yeah.
Like, I could just send you a tape or a DVD and you could give me a week of work, or you can make me pay $30 for you to watch the tape. Then I'll come out to your festival, spend a couple $100 putting myself up, and then if I'm in the top five, you'll give me a week of work. Well, fuck that. Why not just give me the work?
Right. Well, because it makes more sense to them.
It makes them more money.
More
yeah.
business. Right,
yeah.
right.
Well, that's
not- I've been contacted. I don't know if you guys have been contacted by the guy that runs the Seattle and the San Francisco comedy festivals, and he's bugging me about coming out to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sent him a thing back saying, hey, look, you know, I'm 56 years old. I probably not the right demographic. I imagine the comedy scene in Seattle is going to be a younger
Plus
scene and everything.
Flight or whatever.
He told me, though, that the guy who won 2 years ago was 70 years old.
Okay.
What was his name? I forgot his name. Anyway, typical comic. Nobody remembers
so you got him beat already, the 70-year-old guy. You've got to...
But that's what I did. I checked into it. It was like, between the flight and the cost of staying out there.
Brandon's on his phone. What is that?
I'm on Match.com, and this hot chick just winked at me.
Nice! Well, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks, everybody.
No, I got a Match.com joke about Brandon, actually. He had this one woman contact him.
You can be sure that girl does not look anything like that picture.
He had this one woman contact him. He had this one woman contact him who said she was opening up a new salon. Okay. And she gave him 10 names. Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously, okay. This happened. Okay. And he goes, you got to help me get out of this. I'm like, no problem. And he typed back to her, hey, I'm not going to go out with any bitch who's too stupid to spell saloon correctly.
But yeah, but you know, the festivals and that is a whole nother, it seems like that's a whole nother
racket. You guys dialing the same women?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, okay, you see it happening,
don't
you?
Yeah, they're
they're in their own zones right now.
These young kids and their cell phones, you can't get them off them, Tim. What the hell?
They don't make it through lunch. They really don't make it through lunch.
They don't. They're on their Pinterest right now, these guys. Look at them.
No, I'm actually checking with my son because, I'll tell you about it later.
Okay. But you know, that seems like a thing. The festivals, the open mics.
Is it that dirty? Wow.
No, he's got his medicinal card. That's
all. No, well, there you go.
Yeah. All right, then.
But yeah, because you know what? I did this thing the other day where a kid, just like he wouldn't, because I've done these shows, and you guys are certainly welcome to come do the next one or whenever you want to do it, where I record the open mic. I'm doing that now, and you can hear him on this site, joelradio.net.
Well, that's cool.
And a kid tried to, like, you know, the kid who's been doing it for, let's say, 2 years maybe, and he goes, I don't want to sign the release. I have people sign a release just to cover my ass
in case
somebody blows up and they can sue me and say, you know. So I get a guy sign a release. The guy goes, you know, I really don't want to sign the release. And I go, you got it. I said, you're not getting on the fucking show if you don't sign the release. I was like, who the fuck are you to tell me that you're not going
to
sign a release
for a fucking open?
You did that to Ellen DeGeneres?
Funniest Person in America came to the Renaissance Center back in like 85 or something like that.
Who was that?
Well, Ellen DeGeneres was hosting.
Ellen the Genderless?
Didn't she win one of those? And that's how she got famous. Funniest Person in America.
Yeah, then she was going around doing the auditions for it. And then they had it at the Rensen, and they wanted us to sign a release saying that all our material then became property of Showtime, and I got all the comics hyped up about it and wanted to sign it.
So you're that asshole,
Like three or four of the people ended up doing the show.
and you skipped out too?
Yeah, shit, I wasn't going to give away my joke.
Well, but I think that
I had to sign something like that too.
Well, but the release only says you give away that particular performance. It's not that you give away the material.
But these guys don't write.
You don't give away the material.
No, actually, it said they could develop it however they
want.
Well, that's, like that.
You know, I have a standard.
You know, I was a new comic. I was proud of my worst fucking joke
in the world. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Our stuff was ours, man. We owned it back then. You know what I mean?
Well, my point is that, you know, if you're 2 years, you can't tell me that I'm like, you know, who are you anyway to say, like, oh, Joel's going to exploit this in some way for my own, you know, financial gain?
We didn't say anything, to be honest.
We know you.
Yeah, you
know the Showtime Corporation coming to town. You know?
Sure, yeah. You know.
Nowadays, you know, Geach has got to show, hey, do some of my act if you need to, you know?
Right, yeah,
same with Roach. I told him to do the same thing. Of course, he fucked up and stumbled on his opening, but he's a very talented guy.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if
Frank
it'll help you win something, yeah, sure.
Did he really? No.
Some of my jokes.
You know, when Frank was on America's Got Talent, that was it?
That was
and
it.
You gave him your stuff to do?
His opening joke was, geez, what did I give it to him? I've been drinking a lot lately, much like the owl my liver's spotted and endangered.
Okay.
And he fucked the joke up and then froze and said, can I start over?
Yeah, that was. He famously flamed out on that show.
Yeah.
But that's an, you know, that's another thing.
Of course, I've seen.
Thing, you know, if you've got an important show,
Frank.
Do what you've been doing. Don't try and redo it.
Right, yeah, that's
Frank.
True, too. Yeah, yeah exactly. I think so. Yeah,
I like Frank, though.
Oh, yeah. Great guy. Sure. Very funny.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Frank. I mean, he had a problem with me.
He rolls
for a while,
big joints. He rolls really big joints.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Somebody called us cliquish the other day.
Who's cliquish? You guys?
No, Detroit comics.
Well, that's just because all the cartilage is worn off between my hip bone and my femur, so I make this noise.
Okay.
You know.
But who? I mean, who, too much information.
Who described Detroit comedians as cliquish?
I don't know.
A comedian from somewhere else?
Yeah.
Oh.
Had to be.
Well, you know, fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not in our group.
I will say, though, that...
I say we don't talk to them anymore.
That's right.
Let's all just huddle together and not talk to anybody.
Those are snitches with stars.
I think it is true, though, that we're more closely knit than perhaps, like, say, Chicago or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I know a bunch of comics from Chicago, but I don't know them as a group of guys who really has anything to do with each other.
The thing about Detroit, the way I describe like Detroit comedy to people is... Everybody knows each other, and a lot of, you know, I mean, so much of the work that you get is from each other, you know, I mean, to the exclusion, really, of even agencies are almost completely irrelevant at this point, to where you don't even need
them.
And
we hope so.
Yeah, and then that's a good thing for comedy.
And that's another thing that, you know, we were touching on different things, how the business has changed, and that's one of the things. I think the booking agency, as we know it, is something that will also come and go and will ultimately be gone.
Yeah.
It's like a travel agency.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar to a travel agency or a printing shop.
Except you know, a bus station. We need printing shops.
We make our own.
We absolutely need printing
shops. How else am I
going to
make money? Yeah.
We make
how else does Gary George make money? He helped me make the posters for this thing. God damn it.
Tim, do you want to get that door, Tim?
Yeah.
Brandon's taking a piss, right?
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, and Brandon didn't give a shit. He just whipped it out.
Are you kidding?
Fine.
Why would he care?
Come on, man.
He's not the first one to whip it out on his podcast.
Who hasn't seen that thing?
It's as effective as your juggling is on the air.
Thanks, man.
We can only describe it for our listening audience.
All right. Well,
it was frightening.
Time for me to break out the devil stick.
It was frightening. It was like the Kragen.
Yeah.
It was a wee.
But that's the way I describe it. Detroit comedy is we all know each other, and you know it's not exclusive where it's, you know, people don't like each other, but if you go out and you're funny in some way, you know, and you're a young guy, then someone will take you to be their opener.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're a veteran and there's a young guy who has a show and you were nice to him back then, they'll turn it around and book you to close something.
It's as evidence. All you have to do is look at the success rate of some of the guys from the area, like Andy Beningo's young guy's doing really well.
Good.
Dave Landau, who's doing exceptionally well. Chris Newberg's out in L.A. now doing real well.
Jeter.
Yeah, Michael Jeter's doing well. There's a lot of guys.
I mean, I worked with him when I was working with Slayton at the Castle.
Yeah, yeah, you were on with Bobby. Well. Yeah, Bobby and Michael Jeter has a great show.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, man.
Bobby Slayton's great, too. We can tell Bobby Slayton stories all day.
Unless you talk to Kip Adada.
What does Kip Adada say?
Well, Kip Adada calls him a thief and a bunch of other things. Kip Adada, he's gotten old. Yeah,
has he? I've never met Kip. I know Hildebrandt's buddies with him. But
yeah.
I never...
He's a brilliant comic. I mean, some of the things he wrote over the years are just amazing. But I think he's gotten a little bitter.
Well,
yeah.
That happens.
Kip Adada? Bitter?
Bitter? Damn it. Say it isn't so.
Well, you heard the story about him and Hildebrandt eating dinner there with Jim Hamm walking up.
Oh, okay.
And
go ahead.
Jim Hamm walks up, and Bill had just changed his look from being a car salesman to, the bald head.
The thing he has now. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
The way he looks.
Bill got rid of the rug and shaved his head.
Yeah. Okay. So they're sitting there eating.
No, he just wears a lot of chicks. Different spot.
A lot of chicks did the same thing.
Oh, thanks for fucking up that story.
Okay.
Okay, no.
So he's sitting there with Kipanada.
Yeah, and Jim Hamm walks up. And Jim's
the dearly departed Jim Hamm.
Yes, and we liked
him. Lost him a few years ago, yeah.
But he walks up, and this is, Joey's Dearborn, okay, at the restaurant.
Oh, there. Yeah, he's upstairs at Paisano.
Yeah, right, exactly, man. Yeah. So he walks over to the table, and he goes, Bill... You look like a Nazi, okay? And Kip Adada sets down his fork, looks at Jim Hamm, and he goes, I'll have you know, his uncle died at Auschwitz. Yeah, got drunk and fell out of a guard tower.
Oh, man. Yeah, because I think that was a good club, though. Joey's Dearborn was fun.
That's a low ceiling there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You saw the OJ?
Yeah. Jugglers would have to...
Well, yeah, that was the thing, too, because let me ask you that, because as a juggler, because that was one of the... I mean, that ceiling must have been... By the time you were on stage, which they barely
swung
had a
fire,
stage,
I swung fire, and I did the bowling ball thing. There,
okay,
in that club,
but that club 7 foot ceiling, maybe. I mean, it was a drop.
No,
like,
I didn't even think it was.
Not
much.
Even that. Yeah,
Leo couldn't raise his hands.
I was going to say, I'm six.
Yeah, you could touch the
I'm
stage.
I'm 6'2",
the ceiling
and I could stand up straight, but just barely.
Yeah,
I had
yeah.
I had maybe it about was, 4 inches above me. And
I
that
could
was
do
it.
This.
Jeez, I'm sober and I can't stand up straight.
Yeah, Joey's Dearborn, for the people at home, was a club in Dearborn, Michigan.
In the old part of town.
And it was an Italian restaurant in Dearborn, Michigan. And a lot of, I think what they blame a lot of the decline in that club was after 9/11. A lot of people didn't want to travel to the Arabic sort of town, Dearborn.
Where men are men and Jews are nervous.
Right, yeah. So but that club, when it existed, was very good. It was an Italian restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
In a strip mall. You go downstairs, comedy, basement comedy club. Hey. But always intimate shows, good crowds.
Hey, I worked,
big laughers,
I worked with the
blue-collar crowds.
I liked Leslie. Yeah. She was fun. Was
oh, yeah. She was hammered
by
all
the
time.
End of Well, that's why I like her.
I know. I worked with Soupy Sales there. And
no,
the funny thing about Soupy was one of the waitresses, I mentioned something about Soupy, and she made a face. I said, what's the problem with Soupy? She goes, oh, you don't know about that man. I go, what's the problem? She goes, well, he doesn't want to go pee out in the public restroom because one of the customers might bother him.
He says,
so they make me bring an ice bucket into that room in the back, and he pees in the ice bucket.
You're the second person that's told Soupy peeing in the champagne bucket. I heard that. Jim McClain told that story on this show about Soupy being in the champagne bucket. So.
That's absolutely true.
I've heard that.
I make him bring me empty Miller bottles.
I just wait till nobody's looking.
Well, Joey's Dearborn, I told this story. This is the first week I ever did a professional comedy show. Was Joey's Dearborn. Hildebrandt let me MC for Diane Ford. You guys remember
Diane Ford.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I'm working for Diane Ford, and he says... This is what Bill says to me. I remember he calls me. I'll never forget. I was pumping gas, and the phone rings.
And
Bill
smoking.
Says, yeah. Bill says, right. Joel, I want you to come out. You can MC this weekend. And Joey's, oh, shit, yeah. I never worked, you know, for money, you know. I think I had done, like, some open mics and gotten $10 or something, but I'd never done a weekend comedy club.
Right.
So I'm excited. And he goes, you're working with Diane Ford. And I knew who Diane Ford was because I knew comedy and stuff. And he says, here's the deal. You just have to leave her alone. Don't bother her. She's going to want to talk to you. She's going to want to do all stuff. Just leave her alone. Don't get in her face. You know, don't do anything like that. I said, fine, I can do that. You know, no problem. So I go to the club, and I'm sitting there and doing my thing. And people were laughing. It was fine. And, you know, you sat in those bar stools. Remember that by the door?
Oh,
the
exit
door. And you sat in those.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there, and Diane Ford comes up next to me. And, hi, how you doing? That was really, you know, between shows or something. Oh, that was really funny, and thanks. And how I'm doing? I've been doing it like a couple of years, you know. Okay. Yeah. And she goes, well, I wrote Tim Allen some jokes back in the day. I said, okay, that's nice. You know, if you want, I could maybe write you some jokes or something like that. I said, yeah, that's okay. You know, maybe we could do, you know, but I got Bill in the back of my head going, don't talk to Diane Ford. Leave Diane Ford alone. Diane Ford puts her arm around me.
Dun, dun,
yeah, and I'm dun, going, oh, dun, shit, I think Diane. Yeah, and I'm sitting there going, it's my first weekend. It's my first weekend in comedy. I'm 27 years old. She's telling me all this stuff. Oh, I gave Tim Allen a head start in his career. I could write some jokes for you, blah, blah, blah.
You know,
blah,
Diane
blah.
Ford is just Anthony Perkins dressed up.
I don't know.
As
but
a woman.
Well, and listen, I'm not saying Diane Ford was attractive, but when she's a name that you know in comedy.
Oh, absolutely.
And she's stroking your ego and telling you you're funny.
Is
and
that
got
what
her
she was stroking?
Right. Exactly. And I'm going, oh, shit, I think I like this Diane Ford. And, you know, we do the second show ends, I'll see you tomorrow. Okay, Saturday night comes, she's talking to me, and I'm just trying to go, like, what the fuck do I do? You come back for a drink? You want to come back to the hotel? I said, you know, Diane, thanks. I got to go. Thanks a lot. You know, I get the fuck out of Dearborn, right? Call Hildebrandt up on Monday. He's how'd it go? I said, well, listen, Bill, I'll be honest with you. The shows were good. I got some laughs. It was fine. Thanks for having me. But I got to tell you, man, Diane Ford was hitting on me all weekend, man. I'm telling you. She says, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, kid. And he was giving me a read me the riot act about I don't know anything in comedy. And Diane Ford's married to some casino rich guy, and she'd never hit on a guy like you and all this shit. And I said, all right, whatever. Turns out 2 months later, we find out she's divorcing the husband.
And she was after
And she
you.
Was looking for me. And I had to turn it down.
You were right.
And I turned it down. Because I was loyal to Bill Hildebrandt. And I didn't want to fuck up my time at Joey's Dearborn.
How's that feel?
And I wanted to come back.
No insult, Joe, but that's kind of like passing on Roseanne Barr.
First of all, I would still fuck Roseanne Barr today if I had the chance.
I'd really?
Tom Arnold.
Oh, my God.
Man, oh, no.
But, you know, I mean, no, I'm a young, it's my
no,
first
no.
week in the business.
No, you got it.
Okay,
yeah.
But
it's
yeah.
my first week. What are you going to do?
I remember working
I'm not
with,
fucking Roseanne Barr.
You guys know Felicia Michaels?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Felicia
sure.
Michaels.
I worked with her when she was hot. She just won Star Search, and I worked with her at Chaplin's West. She is just beautiful. She yeah. still looks
yeah.
great.
Except for the voice will drive you.
Oh, God, crazy. Yeah. It's like a helium. Yeah, it's the baby voice.
Well,
it's
listening to women
girl.
Does that to us.
Little girl voice.
It's a general girl. Thing. It's not really necessarily
but she didn't,
just her.
She was, they put her into the headline slot so fast she didn't have 45 minutes.
Right.
I remember working at Chaplin's West, and they were like, well, you're going to need to do
40
how
more.
Much, how much time can you do, you know? I had a couple times that. It happened with Gilbert Gottfried. Oh, Gilbert only does 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So you're going to need to do like 35, 40 up front. Yeah. It's like, wow, can I have half of his check? Man.
Hey, it's hard to juggle for 45 minutes. Out there. I got to tell you that, man. My shoulders are done.
And the physicality of your act is, and even Jeff strumming on a guitar, that's work, man.
Not really.
Although I did work with you that
loading
time.
Loading the guitar is more work than he does on stage. With.
I worked with this guy at the old Looney Bin out in Walled Lake. And I'm there early, as I often am. And he comes in with
I'm
his
not
buddy.
This, but okay.
He comes in with his buddy. He's got a cast on his arm and his leg.
I remember that.
Yes. He had to have his buddy come to play guitar for him because he had injured himself in a way that is pretty remarkable, which if he wants to tell you about it, I'll let him. Otherwise,
he's
we'll just
trying not
let
to
it
do
go.
His act. He already told you.
All right. Well, I remember meeting you for the first time and you had a cast on your leg.
Yeah.
You had fallen down doing something.
Or after getting done doing something.
Hard to tell.
Yeah. All I know is that was a fun night. That was a crazy club. That might have been the craziest comedy club there was.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, because Dee was crazy. She
Which
was,
one?
The
Looney
Bin.
Out in Walled Lake.
Oh, yeah, out in Walled Lake was nuts. Nuts, crazy place. It was
now,
fun.
I heard this story about Jeff while we're talking about Jeff drinking stories. That guy in, I think it was Lansing. I can't remember the manager.
Frank Stevens?
It could have been Frank. Well, Frank's the owner, but I think it might have been whoever the showroom manager. You know, the guy that was paying.
Mark Irish.
Guy paying you at the end. It might have been Mark. I remember Irish, but Mark. I don't know if it was him or the guy before him. Okay. But the guy said to you, you would run up a tab for the weekend. And the guy had a.
It was like
the
Blues
guy
Brothers.
Said, right. The guy, you run up a tab for the weekend. And so it's you know, it's Saturday night, time to pay you. And the guy said, here's your check. And here's your bar tab, and you owe us $100. Is that true or not? Is that just a legend?
No, I can see that happening.
It was Bob's Country Bunker.
Yeah. I think I have the record for the lowest paycheck ever written by the punchline in Atlanta.
Yeah, which probably isn't a real special thing about Frank, frankly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's one of the cheapest bastards ever.
The
bowling alley thing.
There is something about comedy club owners than cheapness that seem to go hand in hand. There's some rare and very big exceptions like Ridley, who certainly wouldn't be categorized there. But yeah, you can just go down the list of guys that are just notoriously cheap.
But you have to understand, too. I mean, I can see their point of view. Back in the 80s, they weren't having to pay for the rooms. I mean, they could get paying customers in on a Wednesday.
Right.
When you got a huge budget, you know, you're selling out a 200-300-seat room at $10, $15 a head.
Yeah.
You know, now they're giving it all away, even on the weekend. So, I mean, you got to understand part of their point of view.
Was that about the benefit again?
Yeah.
Well, but isn't it also part of the deal is where, you know, you have talent is like when you have talent that's willing to work for the few bucks they give you now. You're not
you
getting
make it
the
up
good
with
talent.
You ought to make it up with the perks and the respect.
Well, I mean, you could, but you also have,
Absolutely,
you know, you have
man.
You have lesser talent. Therefore, you have it's sort of the circle of, you know, the comics aren't as good, the audiences are smaller because the comics aren't as good, because the audiences are smaller, the checks are smaller, which means we have less money to pay the comics, so we get lesser comics.
Well,
and it's sort of the cycle that doesn't, you know.
But the whole reason there is a comedy club is because of the comics.
Oh, I understand that, yeah. And I think there are good guys that understand that.
And it's so much funnier live, isn't it? Seriously, it's so much funnier.
Yeah, it doesn't transfer.
It is.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can watch it on TV, but it's nothing like a live show.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most common things that gets said to us comedians by audience members, especially ones who've come out to a comedy club for the first time. It's like, wow, this is so much different because it's unedited. It isn't.
Yeah.
It's this, you know, and so many of us don't work short form like this. You know, doing what we're going to be doing on Sunday, where we're doing a short little set. That's not my cup of tea.
That's going to fuck you up.
You're going to get
the light. I'm going to do your accent. It won't matter.
They're going to light you during the guy before you.
Give me that line again. The spotted owl joke. I like the spotted owl. It's endangered and spotted and endangered. My liver is like an owl.
Much
it's
like
spotted.
The owl.
We've all been in this business for a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I mean, it's not like we're going to get a gold watch at the end of it.
No.
I'd like a gold light.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's
I'll do
sort
with
of,
this Miller, though. Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah.
That'll for the golden shower.
Hey, don't go there with me, man. Do not go there with me.
You're getting another message from Matt Shotchka there, Jeff.
Hey, there.
Really? I mean, look, we all understand that, you know, there's no retirement plan in comedy. You just do it to, you know.
There is. You die.
The wheels fall off. You do it till the wheels fall off, literally.
On the road, man.
Got about 100 guys we can name who've come to fruition in the business.
But, you know, you wish that somewhere that the thing is, I don't even see the light coming at the end of the tunnel for as far as, you know, the business or comics.
You're getting it at 7 minutes.
Well, but, you know, you sort of go like, okay, well, like I do this podcast and I've been doing this for a long time. And this is actually, I'm the first comic that ever did a podcast and all that stuff. And now it's very common for comedians to have them. But that's hard to make money at. You know, like Mark Maron's probably making money doing it, but
sure.
The rest of the guys aren't. I'm not. I pay money to put this show together.
Sure did. Drank a bunch of
beers. Yeah, you did. Absolutely. There's a bottle of Crown in there that wasn't
free. Bring it on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm in the game.
I'm going to donate that to the show. Since I can't be on it, here, take this crown and make the funny. But, you know, I mean, you sort of look for what is the next avenue. I mean, Billy's talking about doing an app with some of the stuff that you've done on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
That's an opportunity to
make
some money.
But not in place of stand-up, just a supplant.
No, but, yeah, that's what I mean, you know, because even now comedy, it seems like CDs, you know, guys used to sell CDs, and now people don't even want CDs, you know.
The problem is value.
I know why on that one.
Yeah.
Because guys make bad ones.
Yeah,
sell them anyway, and then they get returned, and then they sell them again.
Well, you know,
can't waste the label.
By the way, I should.
I don't understand why Tim's 40-minute juggling CD didn't sell. I really don't understand.
Yeah,
the
CD, you know, yeah, right.
That's a bit I should do on the show: is take all of these comedian CDs that I've gotten over the years and just play them on the air.
Yeah,
and just listen to how shittily they're recorded and how. Yeah. But they're my friends. I wouldn't do that. But you know,
you would.
Well.
Why not?
Good friends you would.
I'd advocate it. I don't have one.
But you know, but there is the thing where people, though, and maybe this still works if it's not with a CD, some other thing, a T-shirt, whatever, where people do like having that souvenir, that memory of the show.
The merch.
And so you just sell it to them, and they may never listen to it, but they get your autograph, and they meet you, and they have this thing that says, okay, I remember when I went to the show and saw this guy. And that's not the worst thing in the world.
Well, I can say this. I draw the line at selling CDs. I'm not going to go out and start selling clothing items because I'm not a merchant.
Okay.
I know guys that got like a huge duffel bag with XXXL shirts of their little saying on it. It's like, you know.
Sabo Mart.
Yeah.
There are guys that do have that.
Their money on it.
They've got multiple CDs, multiple DVDs, T-shirts, bumper stickers.
I work with Bob Zaney. This guy has got like a whole store worth of merchandise.
And that what's his name? The toast guy.
Oh, Haywood Banks.
Haywood Banks has that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's another big on merchandising.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's great at it, man.
Oh, yeah. Haywood is... Yeah. Haywood is...
And that's fine if you can do it, but I always felt like, God, I didn't get into this to sell T-shirts. I didn't get into this
Well, exactly.
Sell,
and it's gotten to the point now, if you're a feature act, that's the only way you're going to break even.
Well, yeah,
you can't
make money. There's no money in that now.
I'm sitting right here.
I will reiterate, there's no way to make money as a feature act.
I heard you the first time.
Now in the 80s. The last time I featured for the Punchline was in Jacksonville, Florida. I made $1,100 in airfare to feature.
Wow.
Yeah,
Jesus
Christ. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
back in the day.
As a headliner, you're pretty lucky.
Right,
no
right.
shit.
Now you're lucky to probably get, I don't know what that
Yeah, when people complain about erosion of wages, they have no idea what they're talking about. Talk to us comics, because like Jeff will tell you, back in the mid-80s was the heyday when you could make real money as a feature. You'd minimum $500, $600, $700 at least.
Yeah.
At least. That's for a
you
not
were running around.
But like a punchline or an improv, you're talking, like you said, a grand or more to feature.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just nothing like that too.
Yeah, and now it's you're lucky to get 150 a night.
Yeah,
150 a night for features, good. 100 a night, and then if you do a club, you're only getting probably $75 a show.
Well, the same thing even happened with Pine Knob or GTE. At one point, you were paying like $600 to have you come in as an opening act to come in and open for some band, and they get the last. I remember they called me a few years ago about opening for $200. To go open for Creedence Clearwater Revisited. I told him no.
Oh, yeah?
He goes, oh, it's great exposure. I go, no, it isn't. They'll think I'm a roadie doing a sound check. People are just coming in. It's light out. I said, besides, Creedence Clearwater Revisited, that's the drummer and the bass player.
They couldn't even get the original guys.
That'd be like hiring Edgar Bergen's dummy, like hiring Charlie McCarthy without Edgar Bergen. You know, just set the dummy in the chair and watch.
Yeah. Are you ready? Ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I get you anything before the show?
Showtime.
Can I get you some pledge or something?
Yeah. Do you need a hand?
Yeah, just it seems like everything's comedy's been devalued to where anyone can do, not that you literally can, but there is some perception now that, well, all I have to do is I can say I'm a comedian, and if I get up enough that there's never a level you hit where you go, okay, now you're a professional comedian. Like that, it's just sort of this weird gray area of like, well, if you do it, and you know, you don't have to make money necessarily, or you can do it twice a year and still consider, you know, like.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm a nuclear physicist.
I'll tell you where the level
is. Between jobs, right?
I'll tell
now.
You where the level is. It's this Sunday, man.
Yeah, this
that's
Sunday.
Right.
Well, that's.
That's the place.
At the Comedy Castle, you've got all these, of course, the three guys you hear here, not myself.
Sunday.
The Lord's Day.
And we watch that in the morning sometimes.
What's that?
The monster truck stuff. He's funny about that.
I watched it today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, did you?
I did.
What were they doing? Where are they doing?
They were going over cars.
What else do they do? Okay. I mean, is there...
Yeah, that's their job.
Yeah, that is. Well, that's true. I wonder if that's eroded over the years. The monster truck pay. Do you think they go back and there were the glory days?
There hasn't been one of those.
No, they still sell tickets to that thing, don't they? It looks like
that. They just don't have enough of the disasters. I always like the monster truck disasters at the monster truck pole or whatever, and then the thing goes out of control and takes out some audience.
The wheel flies off into the stands or something.
Kills some people at the state fair.
How are we going to thin this population out? We got to find a way.
That's just mean.
Sit close. You'll be fine.
We've got extra special seats in front of the retaining wall you might be interested in.
Armada had some stuff like that.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't they? They had truck pulls.
Well, the Armada Fair is awesome. If you want to go to a real fair, real...
I know.
Robotics.
That's a small town just north of the city.
A farming community. Yeah. Farming community, yes.
Oh, we're on Ardmore Road.
We're on
What?
You can't tell
Armada,
people where this
Ardmore.
Is being recorded.
Yeah, don't, please don't. I don't want all the fans rushing in here.
Yeah, I hate when
Ardmore
that happens.
Ardmore Boulevard.
Turn it into another Woodstock.
There's a city named Ardmore in Kentucky.
There is. Well, that's...
If you can ard more, can you ard less? That's the question.
Hey, you know what? The most popular name of a city for every state is?
What's that?
Greenville. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, right?
It would make some sense.
Means town, and green is nature and trees and stuff. Yeah.
I guess there's 40 states with them.
Right after you work
with
yellow in Redville.
Got to wear suspenders for that.
Well, all right. Well, how do we wrap this up, guys? What's the
Well,
the
just
takeaway?
Fucking walk out.
Well, no, but we're all gonna see you guys.
Well, you know, when I was with that,
you want to turn on it? You want to turn off?
I don't know.
The
I'm trying to.
God damn!
Can I go on Match.com on your computer?
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I'm out of beer now. See you, Tim.
That's why you're out of beer. Okay.
Yeah, so Sunday, Comedy Castle, Royal Oak, Michigan.
Yes.
7 o'clock.
And you can probably go to comedycastle.com. They have more information.
$10.
$10.
This is a bargain, people.
It
Come
is.
On.
Yeah.
There'll be raffle tickets. And there's going to be snacks and stuff, so we're going to take care of everybody that's there.
Yeah, come on out to the Comedy Castle, and
we got
the
best show in the world, actually.
You kind of do. I mean,
it's one of the most unique shows.
I think so.
I mean, 10 headliners and me.
And you.
Well, okay. You know,
and,
so we're subtracting.
And you, that's fine.
But,
and Kramus. Subtract for Kramus. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God. All right. 9.5 headliners.
Oh, come on now. Kevin's going to do a short set. So.
And I guess we'll just see you there. Well, let's thank everybody. We'll start. Billy Ray Bauer, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank
anything
you.
We can plug? Do you have anything to plug? Do you
my app or go to my website or go on Facebook and play In Other Words. It's a great brain teaser game.
You give us an example of In Other Words, because I see that all the time.
All right. Well, yesterday's, for example, was, and I forgot to do mine today. I have to do it yet. Yesterday's was Do a Somersault Ludwig. And the answer, of
roll over Beethoven.
There you go.
Oh, I wouldn't have got the Beethoven.
I forgot the Beethoven.
Jeff loses.
I was literally saying, Billy, roll
Here's
over.
One for you.
Perv.
I'm done with this side.
Yeah. Come play the game. Come play the game.
Yeah, we're in it.
Yeah.
And Jeff Brannon, where can we find you? Where? What are you?
Look, shouldn't be hard. He's wearing a bar.
Match.com, man.
How much gas you got in your truck?
Shouldn't be hard. He's wearing a tether on his leg. So we'll find him.
Yeah. The state insisted I install a pinger. No.
You're a probation officer. I told him you'd be here until about 2 o'clock. So I got to get you out of here. So Jeff.
He's got to go. Kids are getting out of school soon.
There you go.
You had a female probation officer?
I did.
Never mind.
She was from UFC, too.
And Tim Rollins, and we know we'll see you Sunday.
Okay.
At Comedy Castle.
Right. I'm working Holly.
Doors open at 6, show at 7.
Are
you at the Holly Hotel this weekend?
Yeah, I'm at Holly this weekend with Charlie Wiener.
Oh, well, that'll be great. Charlie's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Charlie.
Well, then it'll make up for me.
So, now, how was the juggling at the Holly Hotel? How was the ceiling height? How was the...
It's like juggling under a fucking picnic table. Which I tell it to them every single time. And they always have the Italian lighting, just the white, you know, Christmas things that they never took down.
Yeah.
But they've taken all the pictures off the back wall, and I still like the place.
Yeah, I haven't been. Like I said, I'm banned. I made fun of the place. I'm banned. Me and Jeff.
Well, there's not enough room for a band. Two damn pianos.
Me and Jeff will be outside the Holly Hotel this weekend, standing out there.
Parking blazers.
Yeah, right.
No, come here. Come on. Come on. Pulling them forward toward the tracks. I love it. Maybe we can get 2 or 3. That'd be awesome. That's like a trick shot in pool.
Okay. 7 o'clock, Comedy Castle, this Sunday night. Go see, what's the name of the show again? Are we calling it?
It's the Old Talent Eagle Scout Project
the
Show.
The Old Talent Eagle Scout. Rolls right off
Is
the tongue.
It's Old Talent.
Is there an acronym for that? The O-T-E-S-P. O-T-E-S-P.
Okay, we heard you the first time. It wasn't funny then either.
Yeah. You should open with that, Billy. Yeah.
All right. They're picking on me.
Lack of talent.
Yeah, exactly. We want people to go to the show, Billy.
Oh,
so thanks.
Man. Are we getting into it now? Is this going to turn to a you and me and Tyson kind of thing? It could. That's hilarious.
All right, well, let's get out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening to Joel Radio today. You guys, of course, thanks for doing the show. I can't tell you enough. how great it was to have Tim and Billy and Jeff here. Thank you, guys. And thanks for listening. And don't forget Joel Radio on Twitter, at Joel Radio Show. Joel Radio's on Facebook.
Thanks, man. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Having us here.
You're welcome. I'm glad you guys came out, man. It was awesome. And joelradio.net. You got to go there because that's where it all happens. There's 500 hours of shows there. Did you know that? 500 hours.
Wow.
On joelradio.net.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Was it all us?
It was, yes, it was all.
I'm sure it'll seem like it.
It will. All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you. All right.